Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Your place, love connection, Bible study. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so excited to have you join us today, as we are every Tuesday at 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We want to let you know we're excited about this month because we're dealing with the topic of what is your foundation, solid rock or sinking sand. Please join us for devotion. We're going to have a song by Mark Bryant, scripture by Eric Jefferson, and the prayer by Dr. Nooks, who will also close us this evening. Brother Bryant.
Good evening, everyone. We thank you for joining us at Your Place, Christian Bibles. We thank you for joining us, and today we'll be starting off with a song, scripture, and prayer. Our song for today will be The Old Rugged Cross.
Amen.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was laid. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my troubled feet unless I lay down, and I will cling to the old rugged cross, and it change is someday for a crown. So I cherish that old rugged cross till my trophies and last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown.
Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading tonight is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. The foundational text is 1 Corinthians 3:11, but I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15, the reading of God's word. Because of God's special favor to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whosoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any other foundation than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who builds on that foundation may use gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But there is going to come a time of testing at the judgment day to see what kind of work each builder has done. Everyone's work will be put through the fire to see whether or not it keeps its value. If the work survives the fire, the builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder themselves will be saved, but like someone escaping through a wall of flame. I've read for you 1 Corinthians 3:10 through 15, with the foundational text being, "For no one can lay any other foundation than the one was already than the one we already have, which is Jesus Christ." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, understanding, and carrying out of His Word.
Amen.
God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for giving us the foundation. And God, help us to understand who you are and what we should do. Give us that direction, God. We yield to your Holy Spirit tonight, and we yield to your Word. God, work through those people that will participate in Bible study tonight, that we all might gain and grow and understand you better. God, help us to have a determination to tell somebody that Jesus is the answer for the world today. And give us
yes.
the strength to stand on you. Give us the faith to walk in the things that you have put in our hearts and in our minds through your Spirit and through your Word. God, we love you. And we know you love us, even beyond our understanding. We need you. Bless the teacher tonight. Bless him in a special way, that he might be used by you and make our minds and our hearts receptive to what you have for us through him. God, we need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, well, we are so excited as we begin our monthly Bible study focusing on what is your foundation, solid rock or sinking sand. And as the month for July, we have so much to look for because Brother Jefferson has given us just a wonderful amount of things to look for. So we're excited as we're looking at several options this week. This month, as we look at the foundation. He had us working last week on what kind of foundation do you have. And we examined that, and tonight we're going to look at who lays the foundation. But not just any foundation, the true foundation. So if Brother Jefferson, if you are ready, if you're ready, let's go.
Thank you, Dr. Susie, and I'd like to get a roll call. I know I've got Dr. Susie, Dr. Nooks, Brother Bryant. Is there anyone else that may be there? Just trying to know who we've got with us at this point. If not, feel free to, if you don't want to make yourself known, feel free to jump in at any time. Thank you, Dr. Susie, and glad to be with everyone this evening, and looking forward to this work, that the true foundation, because in our lives we're gonna have some situations that's gonna shake us to our core and make us see what we made of, as the old folks used to say. And the only way you're gonna know what you made of is determining what kind of foundation you have. We talked about last week with Dr. Nooks, who is an engineer, about foundations and that, you know, if you can get down to the bedrock when you're getting ready to build and build your structure on the foundation of the bedrock, then it's not going anywhere. But if you start building it on sand and on mud and clay, a little weather come along and it might shift, it might lean, it might go, might be completely destroyed. And so we want to be sure that we have a good foundation and not sinking sand. And again, I'd like to draw attention to the old hymn, you know, this, the solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean to Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And there's a lot of truth to that. And so tonight we're going to look at who lays the truth. We had some conversation last week about snakeology was the term we used. where people are saying stuff and doing stuff that really is not of the scripture, although they try to twist it that way, and it's really just snakeology. And I use the term snakeology because that's what happened to Eve. She fell for snakeology in the garden, and here we are today. So I've given you Zechariah 12:1-5, Isaiah 51:13. Psalms 24:1-2, and Job 38:2-11, and then we'll, if time, we'll have some additional ones that we will look at. But first, I'd like for somebody to read Zechariah 12:1-5, and let's look at who lays the true foundation. Okay, Dr. Sue, if you can read
all
that
right
for me.
Yes, and I wanted to just say that this is a really good lesson, Brother Jefferson. Thank you so much. Starting in Zechariah 12:1-5, reading in the Message, it says, God's message concerning Israel, God's decree, the very God who threw the skies into space, set earth on a firm foundation, and breathed his own life into men and women. Watch for this. I'm about to turn Jerusalem into a cup of strong drink that will have the people who have set siege to Judah and Jerusalem staggering in a drunken stupor. On the big day, I'll turn Jerusalem into a huge stone blocking the way for everyone. All who try to lift it will rupture themselves. All the pagan nations will come together and try to get rid of it. On the big day, this is God speaking, I'll throw all the war horses into a crazed panic and their riders along with them, but I'll keep my eye on Judah, watching out for her at the same time that I make the enemy's horses go blind. The families of Judah will then realize why our leaders are strong and are able through God of the angel armies. They're a personal God.
Amen. Dr. Nooks, do you have a King James version available, or NIV?
I have a King James.
King James.
I got.
Can you read it from the King James, please? King James, please.
I got the New King James. I can get the old King James.
Yeah, that's fine. New King James is fine.
Okay. The burden of the Lord, word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples, when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the north of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the peoples with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength in the Lord of hosts, their God.
Amen. Thank you. So, Dr. Susie, in the translation that you were reading, what is prevalent to you as we look at who lays the true foundation in the scriptures that you read?
Oh, it's real clear that God lays the foundation. That's the only. There is no other way to see it. And if we build on anything but the Lord, it will sink. It will be like sinking sand, as we said last week.
Yeah, and also the part of that is why I wanted to use Zechariah starting with is that one, it talks about the foundation of the earth, but then he also talks about the spirit in mankind. So if he's laying a physical foundation of the earth, does it stand to reason that the spiritual foundation, the true spiritual foundation, is going to be of God as well, especially if he breathed breath?
Amen.
To make man a living soul.
Amen. Amen.
And Dr. Nooks, I want to get your perspective because I think too many times we try to separate, oh, well, God could do this, but he can't do this, or he hasn't done this, or he won't do this for me. But he's clearly telling Israel that I've laid the foundation of the earth, put the breath in you, I've carried you, I've brought you out of bondage, I've done all these things for you, and so you're looking at, well, you know, captivity and we're being abused and mistreated, and the Lord is saying, but on that day, I will make the horses, disabled, discombobulated, I will make the riders blindness and they can't tell what's going on because I am your strength. You think he's trying to get them to understand that I can, I laid the foundation, I laid the foundation of the earth, I laid the foundation in you, so therefore I can do whatever I need to do in order to look after you as well.
Well, I think it reemphasizes his creative nature, that he is the creator of the world. He is the one that stretches out the heavens. He is the one that created the firmament. And as a result of understanding all of that, that he can, and he emphasizes that he lays the foundation of the earth, keeps it firm and fixed on its own basis. So, God is the one. And I think it shows God's omnipotence right here. And we need to understand that God is all powerful. And I think sometimes we get caught up, like you said, Brother Eric, we don't always think that God is going to be involved in all this or that. But because we understand who God is and what God has done with the creation, that includes mankind. And by mankind being part of that creation, he forms the spirit of man within him, including the soul. And he breathed again into man life. And that's what, so that's really exciting as we understand who God is in relation to us as our creator and our leader and that which established all foundations, the foundations, as the founder of foundations.
Right. Dr. Nooks, Brother Brian, anything else to add in there?
I was just going to say that this really shows that God is foundational in everything. And it doesn't matter what your faith is. It doesn't matter whether you're an atheist or an agnostic. It doesn't matter what your belief system is. God is still foundational. Not only in the earth, and the stars and the sun and the moon. And we need to understand that we limit God to the earth. But God has made every galaxy that you can see. That's millions and millions of light years from here. God made all of that. So God is so great. It's beyond our comprehension, really. And we live in one galaxy, but there are many galaxies. And God has made all that. And then God says, I've made all that big stuff. I've also put something in you. Every one of you has life because of me. And again, it doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not. The breath of life was breathed into you from God.
Yeah,
and that's mind-boggling and you know, every there is no other foundation for life other than God, because God created life. God made life. God breathes the breath of life into all of us. And that really shows the universality of God and the fact that we are all sisters and brothers, because all of us have some God in us. And, you know, I think that's really important, because it connects us. And we are so divided, and that's Satan. But God put life in all of us, and we're all connected. We're all a part of God, but Satan wants to divide us, and he does a good job of it. And we sit up and we argue and fuss with each other, and it's hard for us to see God in somebody that considers himself our enemies. But yet the image of God is in everybody. And,
absolutely.
I mean, that's such a true statement, that God is foundational in everything.
That's absolutely correct. And because if that was not the case, and the haphazardness that we as men could create would discombobulate the whole world. You know?
Oh, yeah.
But God has principles and foundations that can't be denied and can't be changed unless God decides to change those. The sun is going to come up in the east. It's going to set in the west until God sees fit to reverse that. That is a foundational principle. That is going to happen every day by design.
But it's because of God's grace holding it. It's not because of anything that we can do or think to do. And that's what, you know, I don't know how people can't understand that there is a God, simply because when they wake up in the morning and they see that glorious sunrise, you know, how do you get that sunrise? How does it exist? How do we exist in the midst of it? How is it that, you know, the ozone doesn't destroy us? How is it that, you know, life itself continues? What happens and how does that go? It, you know, you have to acknowledge the creative power, foundational power of God, not only in the creation itself, and that, like Dr. Nook said, not just on this earth, but in the galaxy. But the question becomes is, even when we look at things like stem cells and people are talking about creating things, and wait a minute, y'all, nobody can create ex nihilo out of nothing. Only God has done that, can do that.
That's absolutely correct. And so I wanted to, Brother Brian, do you have anything? Is he still with us?
I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Anything as we're looking at this foundation that God has laid not only on the earth but also in mankind?
You know, what I was thinking about what Dr. Nixon had spoke about, just the awesomeness of God to not only have created everything, but in our minuteness and our ability to have such a great thought, we really don't have the intelligence to truly understand how great God is.
Amen.
Because we first have to even acknowledge that he is not only our foundation, but every foundation, our foundation of thought, our foundation of spirit, our body and soul. He is our foundation, and even that which we don't understand. So I thought it was awesome just to bring that point out, that God is our every foundation, whether we desire it, want it, understand it or not, he is the foundation.
Amen.
Absolutely, amen. A true foundation. Brother T,
yeah. I didn't know if you wanted to get into the other part of that about in that day, says the Lord.
Yeah. Let's do that. because that is important. So let's do that in that day.
So do you want to talk about the whole text as well?
Yeah.
Yes. So go ahead, Dr. Susie. What else do you want to draw out of the rest of those verses?
Well, I mean, just like Dr. Nix was trying to introduce when he says, in that day is the great judgment day, the war of Armageddon. And, you know, people, we got to understand that there's a time coming when we have to
Amen.
Understand we will be held accountable
Amen.
For what it is we have done in this body. And we have to know whose side we on. Because when the war break out, I'm on the Lord's side. Oh, whose side you're
Amen,
on?
Amen, sister.
And I think,
Amen.
I think that's what's really important to understand here. He reiterates that several times, and the analogy is such that it's just like when you try to do something like, you know, bless my heart, when I'm moving, I got this couch in my house. It ain't even a big rock, as the scripture talks about. I got this couch in my house, and it's so heavy, I can't even lift it, so ain't no need me trying. I may get behind it and push, because I can't do nothing with it. So if you can imagine a huge boulder that you look at it and you go, really? I can't move that. And if one would try, it said they will rupture, destroy themselves. So God has this hemmed up, and we need to decide early on whose side we're going to be on, so that we can understand that in the last days that we will prevail and survive. Because I'm on the Lord's side, and I know that when it's all said and done, hey, I'm going to be safe in His arms. Amen.
Amen.
I just wanted to point out, if anybody looks at a map of the Middle East, look at how small Jerusalem is. I mean, it's like part of a state
it
in
is.
The United States. It's
yeah,
so small.
It is.
And all these big countries around it have been trying to destroy it for years, centuries. And they can't. And the reason why
Absolutely.
They can't is because of God. I mean, there's no reasonable explanation as to why Israel exists other than the fact that God is with them. And this is,
and he
this
said
is
he
the
would
foundation.
Be
with yeah, yeah. And we also know from Revelation that God is going to save a number of people that no one could number. And God also talks about saving Jerusalem. But they're also going, I mean, there's also the false prophet. I mean, there's a lot of evil in Israel. But God's Israel, God's people, are not, it's not just because they're Israelis, but it's their, that Dr. Susan said, on God's side.
Right.
But it just shows, when you look at Israel, you just understand this concept of the rock and not being able to be moved by enemies, and God will turn blind and the rider's mad. But if God is for you, it's more than the whole world against you. And that's what our hearers need to understand, is that when you've got that foundation, this is the God that made the universe. This is the God that made the earth. This is the God that will be with you through everything once you're a part of God. And that's something to rejoice about and shout about.
Amen. And there, yeah, and there in 5b it says, the people of Jerusalem have found strength in the Lord Almighty, their God. And you're
Amen.
Right. We need to draw on that. We that are believers and we that confess, we need to draw on that. That in the midst of whatever we're going through, whatever that trial is, whatever that thing that you're dealing with, is that you need to find strength in the Lord, because that is the true foundation. And if you are anchored in the Lord, the waves shall batter and you won't be tossed about. you'll stand steadfast. And that's very important for us to grab hold of that. I guess what I would tell our listeners is not only to conceptualize it in your thoughts, but to get it in your soul. I mean, I think that's that, and Dr. Nooks, you and Dr. Susie, I know y'all heard this. The old folks say, you got to know that you know that you know.
Amen. Yeah.
And that's what they're talking about. You got to know that you know that you know. You have built your works on God's foundation. And it is to the bedrock, and it is not going anywhere. It will stand, and when the sun comes out after that storm, you'll still be there. And you got to know that. And so now what I'd like to do is I'd like to go into Isaiah 51, and I actually want to read 13 through 16. And Dr. Nooks, can you read it out of King James? And then Dr.
Yeah.
Susie, I'll hear the message.
13 through what?
16, please.
And you forget the Lord your Maker, and stretched out the heavens, and laid the foundation of the earth. You have feared continually every day fury of the oppressor, when he is prepared to destroy. And where is the fury of the oppressor? The captive exile hastens, that he may be loosed, that he should not die in the pit, that his bread should not fail. But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name. And I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I may plant the heavens, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people.
Amen.
Well,
so who is he talking about as the oppressor? I mean, there are those that say that Isaiah is talking literally about, you know, captivity, but there also are those who think that he's talking spiritually, and he's talking about Satan, who calls himself the oppressor. And there are times when we get faced with things and we cower and shake in our boots because we're up against, we know we're up against the wiles of the devil. We know that. And yet we think that this is it. I'm going to be taken out. And God is saying, nope. No.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And the oppressor, it talks about the oppressor being in the pit. So I guess they're talking about the oppressor being Satan and being loosed out of the pit. So, I mean, that's from Revelation. So you can see
Absolutely.
How Scripture is connected here. But the oppressor, Satan, is trying to destroy all of us. And this is, Brother Keisha, this is what we need to understand, and we've talked about it often, is that we are in a war. There's a war going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're so blind that you're walking around, you don't even realize you're in a war. It's like we have these glasses on, and we are in some kind of alternate reality, and bombs are going off all around us, and bullets are whizzing by our head, and we think we're playing volleyball. I don't know. we don't understand that we're in a war.
Kind of reminds you of The Matrix, right? Which you want the blue pill or you want the purple pill? I mean, you know, you really want to know what's going on, or do you want to just walk around in your little perfect world that's not perfect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. We are in a war, and it is a war that Satan is. We who believe know the story, but yet we lose heart when we're in the midst of the battle.
You know,
we know the story. We know that Satan loses, right? I mean, we know that, or do we?
But we don't. We don't realize we're in the battle.
Brother Jefferson, we got to first of all believe.
That's the problem. We don't know we're in the battle, right?
Believe. we got to first of all see, many of us don't even believe that there is a Satan. Oh, that's just made up.
Right.
That's just, you know, theoretical.
That's right.
There's folks that believe, oh, no, there's no such thing. That's created and made up. And those are, that's, and part of the reason why you get whipped so bad is because you don't think there's nothing fighting you. You know, it's an illusion. So when you're starting from that premise, I mean, how can you help but lose? I mean, you know, your enemy, because you don't believe it exists, can do damage and not even be held accountable or acknowledged, or, you know.
Well, that's the greatest trick. That's Satan's greatest trick, to make you think he doesn't exist.
Amen.
And so you're absolutely right, Doctor. If you don't believe it exists, then how can you fight that fight or even know that you're in a fight?
Because you don't even know you're in the war. Absolutely.
Amen.
So
Amen.
We have to understand that the battle is real. And I don't know how it is that people don't understand that there is a spiritual world that exists. You know, it talks about how we're in the physical realm, but that things are taking place in the heavenly realm to empower the things that are happening here in the spiritual realm, that God is doing things to protect us and watch over us and defend us. And we got scriptures where even when Joshua was getting ready to fight and he went and saw a stranger out there and he walked over to him and he says, "Are you friend or foe?" And he finds out the reason why I was delayed is because I was fighting on your behalf. So there are times in our lives when we're wondering, what the heck is going on? Why am I struggling? Why is it taking so long, Lord, for you? It's because the Lord is doing something on your behalf. God is sending the angels to fight on your side. Oh, and it may look rough. It may seem like the Lord ain't coming, but you have to have faith and believe that the God that you serve, that you trust in, is operating on your behalf. And the war is taking place, even in the spiritual realm, fighting on your behalf.
Amen.
Sister, amen. And the word tells us we fight not against flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood.
But against principalities
and wickedness,
and wickedness in high places.
Spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and what I really like, as Dr. Nooks was ending that at 16, it says, "I have put my words in your mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadows of my hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, Thou art my people." And Zion also means those people who have accepted Christ as their Savior and believe that. This is not just a reference for the Old Testament, although it's an Old Testament writing. It is not just a reference for the Old Testament, because once you accept Jesus Christ, then you are covered as well. And he's telling us, he's put his word in our mouth, if we are his. Now let's be clear about that. We got to be his, and covered us in the shadow of his hand. And we're talking about the person who's laid the foundation on bedrock, who created everything out of nothing, and he says he has us. It says in the shadow of his hand, in the shadow of my hand.
Yes.
He ain't even got to put you in his hand. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
He don't even have to put you in his hand. He can just cast a shadow over you.
Well,
with his hand, to make sure that all is well.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah! That's shouting stuff there.
and we have to understand that the power of the Lord and how he has continued and. We have to function on our heritage of previous experience. And I'm not just talking about just personally in our lives, but what God
Amen.
Has done for us before. And he wants us to go look all the way back to Egypt. And that is a reminder over and over. Look what I've done, how I've conquered for you. The Egyptians are on the ground floor of the sea. Look at how I brought you through. Look at how yesterday you couldn't pay your bills and today you got your bills paid. Look at how you didn't think you'd have a house when you were homeless. Look at how when you didn't think you'd have a job and I provided for you. Look at how when you didn't think you would be
Hallelujah.
Up off your deathbed and you're walking around praising your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have done it for you before and I will do it
Absolutely.
For you again.
Absolutely. Look at when they told you you had cancer and then you got there and you didn't. Look at what he's done for us. Look at when he sent you into a place to do some work and everybody around you, including the folks you were trying to help, caused you holy hell.
Well,
scandalized your name, called you everything but a child of God and tried everything they could to get you fired and most send you to jail. And he said, nope, I sent you here. Stand in me.
Don't stand on
your own strength.
I got you.
Don't try to elevate yourself. Don't try to justify mm-hmm. yourself. Just stand in me. And sometimes we fall because we can't just stand in the Lord.
Stand
we get
in
there
foundation.
And hook it up. We're not anchored in the foundation.
The foundation that I created for you is strong enough to undergo anything you have to endure. It's not going to be a sinking sand. It's not going to be something that will dissolve or bend down. It's going to be strong as a rock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is what he says in Psalms 24:1-2, and this is the New Living Translation. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. He laid the earth's foundations on the seas and built it on the ocean's depths. Everything is the Lord's. He built the foundation. He laid it. He knew exactly what it is. And then to get a clear picture of that, Dr. Susie, can you read Job 38:2-11?
I sure can. Which text?
Job 38:2-11, because this is going to give us a clear understanding of what God is talking about.
Which book?
The message is fine.
Okay.
38:2-11.
Job 38:2-11. I'm reading
You can read 1-11.
Okay.
Job 38:1-11.
It says, and now, finally God answered Job from the eye of a violent storm. And he said, come on, listen, y'all. Why do you confuse the issue? Why do you talk without knowing what you're talking about? Lord, have mercy.
Pull yourself together,
Job. Up on your feet, stand tall. I have some questions for you. And I want some straight answers. Where were you when I created the earth? Come on, somebody. And he goes on and says, now tell me, since you know so much, who decided on its size? Certainly you know that. Who came up with the blueprints and measurements? How was its foundation poured? And who set the cornerstone? Well, while the morning stars sang in chorus and all the angels shouted praise, and who took charge of the ocean when it gushed forth like a baby from the womb? That was me. I wrapped it in soft clouds and tucked it in safely at night. Then I made a playpen for it, a strong playpen so it couldn't run loose, and said, stay here. This is your place. Your wild tantrums are confined to this place.
Oh, you can go on. I mean, you can go down to 16.
It says, and have you ever ordered morning? Get up, told dawn. Get to work so you could seize earth like a blanket and shake out the wicked like cockroaches. As the sun brings everything to light, brings out all the colors and shapes, the cover of darkness is snatched from the wicked. They're caught in the very act. Have you ever gotten to the true bottom of things? Explored the labyrinth caves of deep oceans? Do you know the first thing about death? Do you have one clue regarding death's dark mysteries? And do you have any idea how large this earth is? Speak up if you've even the beginning of an answer.
Come on, all now. Dr. Susan. We may as well read it all now. We may as well read it all.
Do you know where light comes from and where darkness lives? So you can take them by the hand and lead them home when they get lost. Why, of course, you know that. You've known them all your life, grown up in the same neighborhood with them. Have you ever traveled to where snow is made? Seen the vault where hell is stockpiled? The arsenals of hell and snow know that I keep in readiness for times of trouble and battle and war. Can you find your way to where lightning is launched or to the place from which the wind blows? Who do you suppose carves canyons for the downpours of rain and charts the route of thunderstorms that bring water to unvisited fields, deserts no one ever lays eyes on, drenching the useless wastelands so they're carpeted with flowers and grass? And who you think is the father of rain and dew, the mother of ice and frost? You don't for a minute imagine these marvels of weather just happen, do you? Can you catch the eye of the beautiful Pleiades or distract Orion from his hunt? Can you get Venus to look your way or get the great bear and her cubs to come out and play? Do you know the first things about the skies, constellations, and how they affect things on Earth? Can you get the attention of the clouds and commission a shower of rain? Can you take charge of the lightning bolts and have them report to you for orders? Well,
do you realize how much science was in that? I mean, it's
amen.
This is amazing. I mean, I he even talks about the constellations.
Their effect on Earth.
Yeah.
He doesn't just talk about the constellations, but their effect on Earth.
Yeah, I mean, he talks about so much science here, about snow and rain and canyons and the Earth foundation and controlling, keeping Earth within its boundaries. I mean, and placing the constellations, the sun and the moon, and all these things affect how the Earth keeps on its axis and turns. I mean, there's, of course, we know, I mean, the moon affects the tides in the oceans. I mean, it's mind-boggling when you think of the science. You know, God, where were you when I did all this? And also about making the constellations. You know, I think Mark talked about, you know, we can't even begin to comprehend God and all that God has done, and beyond this place, even the constellations.
Absolutely, and I wanted that because this is what I want to draw our attention to for those that are listening. Whatever you're going through, God has done all of this, has it all in control, all in command, and hasn't used one inch of all that he is. Don't you think that if you built your foundation on him, that he got you to?
My Lord.
And
I mean, really?
And breaking it. Yes. Yes. And whatever it is we're dealing with is nothing compared to casting the winds from the east to the west, or being able to tell it when to rain, or it, you know, what
directing
I'm
the lightning bolt.
If God can do that, yes.
Whatever
so
it is you're
I
going
struggle.
Through.
This is Dr. Susie, Brother Jefferson. I struggle.
Yes.
When you can't walk outside and know that there is a God by looking up in the sky, whether it's morning, noonday, or night, I just can't get it. I just can't. You got to know Whitney Houston and Bobby sing a song bigger than you and I. You got to know that there's something bigger than you and I. You got to know. From looking outside, who made the ocean, you know, in the streams. I mean, you got to know that the creator of the universe can handle any situation that you're encountering. And I know we get caught up But when you get caught up and you ain't got nowhere to go, if you go down on a knee, then that should remind you.
Amen.
Amen.
Just
well,
to be,
just
to be
Susie,
in the right foundation, just to have the foundation.
Dr. Susie. Absolutely, and Dr. Susie, I submit that we don't have to even look outside. Psalms 139, starting at 13, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knitted me together in my mother's womb.
Look in the mirror.
Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I knew it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, and I was woven together in the darkness of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life is recorded in your book, every moment laid out before a single day passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They are innumerable. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up in the morning,
you are still
with me. So
there were plans for them to take a man's head, and a guy who was unable to walk, he was paralyzed, and they were going to take his head and try to put it on another body. And, you know, I guess what I'm saying is that we think, because this is this year. And I don't know if it's happened or not. Maybe it's supposed to happen in December, I think, of this year. But we forget that there is a creator of life, and it wasn't human beings.
Absolutely.
And so, Brother Eric, this is what I'm saying is, if we get it twisted and think that we can, you know, because we can harvest organs and we can do transplants, then we forget sometimes. That's what I'm saying. We forget. We forget.
Yeah. We think we all that in a bag of chips, and we're not. We're nothing. When we stand beside God as mankind, as human mankind, we're nothing. We were created by the Creator. We're nothing. Mm-hmm. And all that we think we are, he's given us the power and the grace through him to master or achieve what we have. But we could never, we're not even one inch of what God is. I mean, we just read that in Job, and that wasn't even half of it.
Amen.
But that's the foundation. That's the true foundation. And that's what we need to be building on, and we need to know that we're building on that foundation. And we need to know that that is the true foundation. And there is nothing, nothing that can separate us from that foundation if we are sincere about building on to the bedrock.
Yeah.
I think I'll try this. No. You've got to sell out. Got to sell out for God.
Yeah. Brother teacher, I was just
going
to say.
Go ahead, Dr. Nook.
It's 7:54.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you can go ahead. Go ahead and finish then.
Well, I just wanted to read a couple other scriptures that I had written down just so that, you know, folks can have a chance to look at them or go back and read them. But 2 Timothy 2:19. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all their wickedness. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows those who are his, and those who claim they belong to the Lord must turn away from all their wickedness. And as we talked about last week, Dr. Susie, those brothers talking about, you know, I don't want to be hurt no more, and I don't want to do this, but, you know, we can do this and that. No, that's snakeology, and God just told us that. And I want to read one more. 1 Peter 2, 14 4 through 5.
But before you go on, Brother Eric, before you go on, I just wanted to reiterate in the message, it says, God's firm foundation is as firm as ever. These sentences engraved on the stone says God knows who belongs to him. Spurn evil,
amen,
all you who name God as God. Go ahead. God,
amen,
knows.
Amen. So this is, yeah, God knows. Absolutely. This is 1 Peter 2. And I'll leave us with this one and turn it back to you, Dr. Susie. But this is 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5. Come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you as living stones into a spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priest who offer the spiritual sacrifice that pleases him because of Jesus Christ. Come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you as living stones into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priest who offer the spiritual sacrifice that pleases him because of Jesus Christ. So we've looked at who lays the true foundation, and that is no one but God. No ifs and buts about it. God. God alone. And if we are going to call on Christ, on God, and say that we are his, we need to be standing on that foundation that he has built. And we need to get anchored in it. We need to get cemented into it, to the bedrock. You may sway and you may move around a little bit, but you're not going anywhere. And understand, because Dr. Nooks and Dr. Susie have been absolutely on point, you are in a war and going to be until Christ returns. And what Satan is trying to accomplish is to remove you from God's hand. But God has said, believe in me, and you will not perish. So stand firm on God who lays a true foundation. And with that, Dr. Susie, I'll turn it back to you for our closing.
Brother Eric, I hate you ended it right there, because there's one scripture I wanted to read. And
Go ahead.
2 Timothy 2:8, it says, fix this picture firmly in your mind. Jesus descended from the line of David, raised from the dead. Come on now. It's what you've heard from me all along. It's what I'm sitting in jail for right now, but God's word isn't in jail. Come on, somebody. God's word is not in jail. It's out there. And it's there. It says, that's why I stick it out here, so that everyone God calls will get in on the salvation of Christ and all his glory. This is a sure thing.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If we die with him, we'll live with him.
Praise
if we him. Stick it out with him, we'll rule with him. If we turn our backs on him, he'll turn his backs on us. If we give
on
up
us.
On him, he doesn't
give
up on us. But there's no way he can be false to himself. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Praise be to God Almighty.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Dr. Susie, for that.
Amen. Amen. Before we close, can we get, it's just a few of us on the line tonight. Brother Mark, can you share one thing that to our listeners, how this impacted tonight's Bible study, how it impacted you? And maybe once you explain how it impacted you, number two, a word for them as it relates to the text today?
For me, this impacted me to take a deeper look and recognize who God is. And even in the scriptures, as Dr. Nitz stated, he talks about the footers and the headings and the stars and the skies. to let us know how he's the one that made the foundation. You know, we talk about architecture, we talk about science and scientists and all the different tools they use. You know, it all began, you know, with Jesus. And in going beyond that which is technical, you know, I look at why is Jesus the center of my joy? He's the center of my joy because he's my foundation. And though storms may rattle my life, and though I may be tossed and turned, I still recognize that my soul is anchored in the Lord.
In the
I
Lord.
May not, you know, if I
go Amen. Foundational.
My soul's been anchored.
He's been anchored in the Lord. My soul is anchored in the Lord. And you know, there
you're going to
you
have
know,
to sing that, Brother Mark.
Amen.
Sing that, Brother Mark. My soul is anchored.
Next week, you're going to have to do that one.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So that's what I get out of that, and I speak to those who are out there that you know are going through situations where they really can't you know tell the night from day, and they don't understand why things are happening. But if they reach out for Jesus and understand that He is the source of everything, that and they can tie mm-hmm. their soul into. Things will change. Things have to change. Things must change because their anchor must be rooted in Jesus.
Dr. Nooks.
Just that we are limited as our understanding. And, we put our faith in things and science and medicine. We have appeal for this, appeal for that. We get surgeries. We think that we can't make it unless we have certain surgeries and certain heals. God is saying in God's word tonight that God is foundation. God is not separate from science, but God is greater than science. God is greater than medicine. God is greater than appeal. God is greater than paying your bills. God is greater than that. And those that are listening in need to understand that they need to rely on the foundation of God, if not on people and things, because God is above people and things. And God can do great things in your life if you have that foundation. So we are recommending the foundation of God be in your life or for you to consider God is foundational in your life, and it will make all the difference in your life.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This is Dr. Susie, and I just have to shout today. I just got to let everybody know that, you know, those of us, and I'm talking, you know, I asked how it impacted me. It impacts me because, see, oftentimes when we think we join the Christian journey, that it's going to be peaches and cream. It's going to be an easier road now that we're on the right track. But that's not the way it works.
You ask a question sometimes. You know, Lord, I need my bill paid.
I need food in my refrigerator. I need gas in my car. I need to be able to pay my house payment today. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And you can fill in the blank in your own life. And that's what I have had to experience. But one thing that I know, one thing that I have experienced and how I know that God is a wonder-working God because, see, he can handle any situation that's out there because of the lesson that we learned tonight was a reminder there is nothing too big for the God that we serve to handle. There's nothing that you're going through. There's nothing that you're experiencing or dealing with that God can't handle. I'm a testimony of God being
Amen.
Able to provide. In the midst of your need. Don't ask me why God sends me to this place, and it's never an easy thing. I could have been in, I was in med school where I thought I could get an automatic, oh, I'm not going to ever have to worry about finances anymore because I'm going to be a doctor. And God created me to be a different kind of doctor, a doctor of the Word of God, a doctor so that I can struggle and work with other people and identify with the struggles that everybody's going through every day. But let me tell you, so far so good, and I trust God the rest of the journey, is that what he has begun in me, he's working out. He's continuing the process. If I have a need, he will fix it. He'll make it. There's never been a time I haven't been able to find something to eat somewhere. There's never been a time when, you know, I haven't gone without to where I know that God is still my provider. He's my Jehovah Jireh. He's the one who heals.
Hallelujah.
He's the Jehovah Rapha. He's the one that takes care of my body. God meets every one of my needs. And I guarantee it, anybody who's on the line tonight can testify that when they were ill, it was God who brought them through. When they needed something, God opened the door. It might not have been when we wanted it. Come on, somebody.
Hell.
But it was always, always right on time. And that's what I wanted to share tonight. No matter where you are or what you're dealing with or what your struggle is, the God is the true foundation. And if you stand on that foundation, no matter what happens in your life, you will not be on sinking sand. Dr. Nooks, can you close us in
prayer? Hallelujah.
God, we thank you for the word tonight. We thank you for reminding us that you are our foundation. Thank you, God, for keeping us in the midst of the storm. And God, we ask your blessing for your people who need a touch from you tonight. There are some people that don't understand how powerful you are, and they have maybe been relying on things, and we just commend them to you right now in Jesus' name, that somehow you would touch their lives and that they would understand this foundation that we have come to rely on. We can stand on it. We can live on it because it's firm, and it will not change. God, thank you for touching our lives and loving us beyond our understanding. There are people that are listening in that may be sick. We pray for healing in their lives. People that are in financial need right now, God, that you bless them financially. People that are struggling right now with all kind of relationship problems, we pray for deliverance in Jesus' name. We pray for a way to be made right now. People are sad. People are destitute. But God, if they stand on you, and we're just recommending you to them right now, somebody that may be right now, that you would lean and depend on Jesus. We give them over to you, God. And we thank you for loving us, even beyond our understanding. In Jesus' name,
we pray. Way, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Join us
Amen.
Next week for
Amen.
What happens when you do not have a good foundation.
Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.